On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, today's episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'll have the guys introduce themselves and then we'll get going. So we'll go Corey first, Ben second, just name, org, anything relevant, and then we'll jump in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. Corey Wan, performance coach here in the New York Mets system. I've been with them for year number 9 now. Worked everywhere from double A to low A. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Ben Chadwick. I'm the AAA strength coach with the Red Sox. This will be my 8th season coming up. Kind of bounced around, been everywhere, rookie ball up through AAA. And I think that's about it.
Guys, so today's episode is going to be centered on being named Strength Coach of the Year. I've done one of these talks with a couple other guys at one, and I thought it went really well. So I wanted to set up another one. So first and foremost, congrats to both of you guys on winning the award this year at your affiliates. And then just kind of going into like what your journey previously has kind of taught you that made you successful this year. And then we'll let it ride from there.
I kind of just said, I've been at pretty much every level at this point. I think one of the most important things is learning what it takes to coach at your level. I think you can kind of look at it like it's a continuum. Down at rookie ball, it runs a lot more like a college, and down up in AAA, it's a lot more individual, dealing with personalities. So, and everything is a continuum in between. And I think just figuring out who your players are, what expectations are, is one of the most important things you can do to adjust quickly.
Yeah, no, for me in the past, I would just say being prepared is a big thing, especially through the last season that we had here, having to deal with COVID and all the new protocols that ourselves and our players and staff and front office was trying to figure out as we continued through the season as well. Being prepared, having a backup plan, and then having two more in case those go wrong, is definitely something that has helped me, get through this last season. And then, I know everybody says it, but just the importance of communication, whether that's with your players, with your coaches, with your staff, even with your family, having that good line of communication all the way across the board with anybody and everybody just helps runs a tighter and like a smoother ship, you know?
Yeah, I think the communication thing you just hit on is pretty huge, because yeah, I think anybody getting into baseball, for the most part, you're probably going to be a good strength coach and have your own set of expectations for yourself. But I think it's important also to know what your coordinator's looking for, what your manager's looking for, and what front office are looking for, because I think oftentimes they'll have slightly or even drastically different expectations for you than what you think they are. And to kind of hit on it deeper, like one of the years I was in Fort Myers at the complex, like you run extended and then GCL starts and you have two different managers. And, you know, one will be like, you know, if a guy's late, if a guy does this, like, I want you to find him. And, you know, you learn his expectations, you start doing it. And the next guy might come in and be like, why is he finding people? Like, what's this kid think he is, the manager? Mm-hmm. So like two things where you're not doing anything wrong, but like, you just got to figure out what people are expecting from you and learn how to do it the right way so that you're not rubbing people the wrong way or stepping into somebody else's zone. So I think figuring out what exactly you need to do is really important.
going off of that, you guys both mentioned communication, expectations, things like that. Like, how are you going about that to prepare yourself? Because Ben, like you said, you pretty much everybody's going to be a good strength coach if they get hired in some capacity. But, you know, elaborating on that, maybe advice for others in addition to this, but just how are you going about like setting standards with players that are based on communication with coaches? Are you having like formal sit down meetings? Are you having team meetings? Is it just super informal and passing, getting to know people? Like, how are you making the most of that so that you know what is expected of you at your given affiliate?
Yeah, I think you need to do it early, and I'm going to go through it again this year because I'm going to have a new manager in AAA. So he's already reached out to me. We've already spoken, and I imagine we're going to speak a lot more in spring training, try to get to know each other and figure out what we're looking for from each other. And at the same time with the players, that's another key point that's really important too. And for me, like, it was every year, sometime on the line, the first week of the season, like, I go over my expectations for everything, conditioning, lifts, pretty much anything you can name, so guys can't fall back on the excuse that they didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head, Chris, with whether that's a team meeting, one-on-one meetings, daily meetings with your coaching staff. We do it all. We do it all. I think each of them have its place. And each one has its purpose. Like you said, you might do your meeting on the line, Ben, and I might just give my spiel, you know, first day whenever we're at our team meeting, just knock it out when we're at our affiliate. But I also think that those communication skills and relationships get built on the non-formal level too, just your day-to-day. Like I said, sitting in the locker room with your coaching staff, you know, sharing a bite to eat in the cafeteria. Communication runs throughout that whole thing, whether it's personal or professional. So I think each one of those areas have their own little bit of a little piece of the pie.
Yeah, I think that's important too. Like, last year I did mine on the line. I had a manager who was much less formal. And in the past I've had more formal coaches, I guess you could say, and they would have individual meetings where everybody down to the third clubby would speak on mm-hmm. what they expected from the players. And that's another thing, just figuring out like what kind of style your coaching staff has, and kind of hitting further with the player thing too. Like, something I've learned extremely well in AAA this year is like everything's so much individual and there's so many different personalities that like it's a lot harder to have like set rules for every single person. So I almost treated everybody on their own individual basis. And like, if I ever saw a situation where a guy was slacking off with conditioning or lifts, like, it was different than being in rookie ball where you're like, hey, $25 fine, next time it's 50. Like, it was, hey, I'm going to go find this guy at batting practice when he's alone in the outfield, or when we're alone in the weight room, or whenever it is. And I'm going to have a conversation right then and there. And it doesn't have to be like you're scolding him. It's just figuring out what's going on, where his head's at. Maybe he got sent down, he's going through it. Like, maybe he's having a tough time at home. Like, it could be a million different things. And that everything amplifies itself when you're at AAA, and there's a difference between a minor league salary and $3,500 a day. So I think it's really important to figure out where a guy's coming from.
Yeah, I think that's definitely big, because I've seen it a little bit through the AA level when I was up there, is you can't treat the older guys the same as a younger 19-year-old guy that just coming in for his first or second year of pro ball. Like, those guys who have some skin in the game, you know, they have some time, like, they've earned some respect to where you can't just boss them around. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely something that will definitely go a long way. And those guys, I'm sure it adds to your rapport. There we go. Wow, that was rough.
Yeah.
As your rapport, guys understand that you're not just gonna call them out like in the middle of everybody. Like, you're more professional. You're taking it the right way with those guys who have quote unquote earned that respect, you know.
No, that's a really good point, because Like I had a bunch of guys that had 6+ years of service time this year. And I had other guys that were 21, 22 years old, had no time and were fresh out of AA. And mm-hmm. I think the important thing is you can leverage those guys to help you, because like a lot of those guys are almost like pseudo coaches to a point. Like they help run the clubhouse. So like when those guys fall out of line, like we're not going to be the only ones that get rubbed the wrong way. Like a lot of times those players will handle things with those guys themselves. So like if you have the older guys on your side, like it really helps you run the clubhouse better.
Yeah, I saw that too in my experience with AAA, and then obviously being in the big leagues this year. Like that was something I have in my notes here I was going to ask you guys to elaborate on, but you beat me to it. It's just like you have expectations for players, but how do those expectations change, and how do those, the conversations you have change based on being at those lower levels and being at the higher levels? But again, you guys already answered my question. So my next one kind of for you guys is just elaborating on this. We talk about like communication with baseball coaches, sport coaches as well. Like baseball seems to be transitioning to that point where coaches are educated on how the body moves. And for me, I think strength coaches need to be educated on like baseball specific stuff. So like a big thing that's helped me is just going to our hitting coaches, going to our pitching coaches and asking them baseball questions. And like, I know the old adage of like stay in your lane is a thing, but for me, it really helped me to use, like I played the game a little bit. I know it on a surface level. Like if I go to our pitching coach with some sort of question based on pitching, he wants to talk about pitching. Like that's why he's there, because he loves pitching. Like when somebody comes to us about strength and conditioning, we love strength and conditioning. We can talk about it all day. And I think for me is like if you go to the baseball coach with a strength and conditioning thing, sometimes they're just like, but if you go to them with a baseball question and then circle back to strength and conditioning, then they're more interested. That conversation, that dialogue's more open. So are you guys having those conversations with coaches, or maybe planning to have those in the future, like knowing that the game's kind of going that way?
Absolutely. That's definitely one area that I'd like to get into more, actually, at least more formally. This year, like my staff was great as far as letting me sit in on player meetings and stuff like that they'd have with them. And I try to make it an effort to get into those, just to, like you say, to just continue to blur the lines between performance and on field. Like there's no more silos anymore in this game. There's so many generalists when it comes to coaches on the field, and even performance coaches. Like everybody's background is starting to blend into one another. So that's definitely something that I tried to make an effort this year, and I'll definitely continue to try and do more of that as you go into next year. And like even as far as not being so formal with like the player meetings, but just dropping into the cage, dropping into the bullpen, you know, in between like our lifts or in between stretch or during BP, you know, just getting around them more often, even during games. You know, they might be locked in to what's happening on the game, but if you see something, or if you hear them coach something or cue something, like with a guy swinging, if he comes back to the dugout, like that's also a good time for like us as far as a support staff, a performance staff, to dive a little bit deeper into, all right, well, what do you exactly see? What exactly are the changes that you want to see? And is there some way that we can help as far as our end goes to kind of meet you in the middle and work towards the same player goal?
Yeah, I think very similar, like an area that I think everything was so siloed in my career that I always focused my continuing ed on other things. And obviously the trend has changed throughout baseball the last couple seasons. And for me, like this is the big area the last two seasons. I've really tried to learn as much as I could. And, you know, the org helped me so I could take On Base U, and, you know, I took some driveline stuff, and I've tried reading and becoming interested in a lot of other things. And, you know, I think it's really brought the staffs together a lot more. On the pitching side, like me and my pitching coach did On Base U together. So like we took the course, the online part, the I guess it was a Zoom session last year too, and we'd check in with each other and see what we thought. And you know, the interesting thing was we both had like similar opinions, like screen's a little elementary, basic, we kind of do more advanced stuff. Pitching mechanics are very elementary, basic, but like the cool thing that it did for everyone was like it gave me a very basic framework of pitching mechanics that I could start to build and expand from. And for him, like it saw, like he saw different movements and how they could affect pitching. And it gave us a common language where we could meet in the middle, because if he threw advanced pitching stuff at me or I threw advanced strength and conditioning stuff, like there was going to be a lot of disconnect because both of us would have no idea what we're talking about. Now we have a common language. And the same thing on the hitting side. So I actually have two hitting coaches in Worcester, and they both have very different styles, but I can approach them in different ways. So I can approach one in a little more of an old school sense and just say, hey, what do you see with this guy? And just get a pulse of where he's at. I can talk to the other one and he's taking on base you and all that. And he'll be like, oh, he's swaying. This guy casts his hands. He does this. And like, admittedly, it wasn't where I wanted it to be last year. And it's something I have high hopes for this year, now that we have an assistant. Like every minor league strength coach that deals with food and has nutrition on their plate, like it's a very big task to be dealt. And unfortunately, it cuts into your time that you wish could be spent elsewhere. So I'm optimistic with a lot of that, hopefully off my plate this year, that this could be a huge area that we with the Red Sox can expand on.
Yeah, that was my, that was my point I was going to make, knowing obviously that we're going to have seasonal guys at the affiliates, Ben. It's like, because there's two strength coaches in the big leagues, like we can divvy up our, you know, our duties throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the months, and of course throughout the season. But it gives you more free time to have those conversations with the pitching coaches, with the hitting coaches. And that's kind of where I myself also am going in my continuing ed, is like, you know, the bridging the gap presentations and things like that. It's just learning some of that hitting specific stuff so that I can have those conversations with our hitting coach and we can kind of, you know, blend those approaches. But I would also say too, is like any young coaches listening, like, I think you need to have a really good foundation of strength and conditioning knowledge and be able to do your strength and conditioning job based on what your org wants really well before you start doing that, right? Like you don't want to be spending all your time in the cage and missing dynamic warmup, or like, you know, telling a guy, hey, I'll be with you in the weight room in 10 minutes. I got to go to the cage first. Like, no, that guy's ready to lift now. Like he needs to lift now. So like you still have to have that strength coach job, but once the duties are appropriately assigned, and Ben, especially for you having an assistant, like that opens the door for you to have those conversations with those hitting coaches, pitching coaches, managers, whoever it may be, so that you're all on the same page and everything just seems to flow a little bit more smoothly. And then to Corey's point, just about like informal, right? Like meetings are good and all of that. But for me, the best talks that I have are like, we're on the bus after a flight and our hitting coach sits behind me and I'm like, hey, what do you got on this? And we just talk. And before you know it, you know, the bus ride where we arrived and I'm like, I really want to talk more about this. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, call me, text me, whatever. Like those for me have really helped just get some questions answered for myself and build those relationships. And it's just super informal and it's genuine. You can tell it's genuine because it's not like, hey, I need to sit down, we need to discuss A, B, and C. It's just like, hey, I saw this video, what do you think? Or, hey, I followed this guy, what do you think? And those for me have helped me a ton.
Yeah, and admittedly, everything was pretty surface level this year. And we wear so many hats down in the minor leagues that it's very hard to be, like, even if you prepare yourself and give yourself the knowledge to be good at everything, like, it's very hard to find the time to do it. And super optimistic with the seasonal guys. And you know, at the end of the season, like I said, like the food was such a big task that we get handed, that like I would normally do it everything a week ahead. So like the last week of the season, we didn't have to do food because it was already done for the year and everything was set up. And I had the chance to just go sit in a hotel room with one of the hitting coaches and just start watching Driveline. And like we'd watch something and he'd pause it and he'd be like, this is this guy. And we'd hit play, we'd do it again, and he'd be like, that's what this guy does. And then we'd start talking and we'd start digging deeper. And I'm like, well, that's funny because this guy isn't good at this in the weight room. Like, I wonder if we focus on this more. And like, it opened up this whole deeper dive discussion that we just couldn't have during the season because we didn't have time, because strength coaches are busy all day. Coaches are busy all game. Like, it's very hard to find that time. So if you can figure out a time to have the conversation, like Chris just said, like on the plane or on the bus or wherever it is, like those conversations are extremely important. It's just finding a way to work them in.
Yeah. And especially in those informal settings, you know, like you said, that's where Chris or where the genuine aspect of it, you actually see who really cares about the guys and what they're willing to do. Cause that's basically just our own time. That's our downtime. That's our time away from the field. And the fact that you're spending it on watching stuff to help yourself and the hitting coach, Ben, like that just shows how much these guys mean to you guys and how much you guys care about getting the best out of them and giving them the best that you guys can.
And at the end of the day, that's it, right? Like every day we show up, we can just give them our best and that's it. So we talk communication, we talk expectations. Do you guys have any other advice for other strength coaches looking for success specifically at a minor league affiliate?
For me, like, I think the days don't really change too much. So I think if you come up with a system and a process and a way for yourself to have checks and balances so things don't get missed, knowing everything you need to do daily, everything that's weekly, everything biweekly, everything monthly, so that you have reminders and deadlines for yourself so that you know when everything gets done and nothing slips through the cracks, I think that's huge. I think the other thing that I kind of unlearned and relearned when I went from high A down to rookie ball back up to double A is when travel gets reintroduced, like the days are very similar but different, and it'll throw you out of your routine. And it's very important to target that first day back home or that first day on the road, because those are important transition days where if you don't immediately get into your road routine or your home routine right away, like you're going to miss stuff and you're going to be behind on the eight ball.
Yeah. So tying into a little bit of that Ben just spoke on, using your time wisely, definitely managing your time, that can go pretty much hand in hand with Ben's process. There's always enough time during the day to figure it out, whether that's in between stretches, you know, first couple innings of a game, getting to the field early, just managing your time correctly and not just sitting there at the ballpark to sit at the ballpark, you know, like we spend enough hours here during the day at work that we should be able to get our jobs done at the ballpark to where we can have a pretty decent family work balance. You know, so definitely managing your time wisely. And like I said, when you're at work, whatever you're doing, like just work, you're there. And then, another thing would be just don't be afraid to reach out to other coaches. We're all in the same boat. When we're on the road, we all visit the same places in the league. So whether that's talking shop with whatever team you're playing that week or that series, whether or not you're reaching out to other coaches in your organization that might have had experience at that affiliate, just not being afraid to ask for help and to seek advice, because we're pretty much all open books. I haven't found one guy that I've come in contact with in minor league baseball that hasn't been like, no, I'm not gonna tell you what's going on. I'm not gonna tell you where to go eat. Everybody here knows what each person is going through, basically. So we're all here to help each other, which is great.
Yeah, I can specifically remember when I was in double A, like we had a league wide like inventory of restaurants for like visits. Like when you go to this place, use this, these deals are set up. Like it was very open dialogue amongst all the strength coaches. And for me, it was awesome because, you know, you're by yourself, you work long hours, like sometimes you're traveling, so you're not with your family. And it's like those strength coaches almost become like your extended strength coach family during the season. And it's like, Corey, man, I'm struggling. Like, you want to go get some lunch today or something? And then you talk shop and then you go to the field and like, you instantly feel better. Right. Like it was always for me, I had this podcast. So it's like, if we went to a city, I didn't know the strength coach. They're like, hey, you want to do a podcast? And it's like, we get to know each other for an hour and then we just turn the recorder on and record the podcast. So it's like reaching out to those other strength coaches for me was, it saved me a lot just because one, I was new to the league. We're all new at one point or another in the league and there's other people that have been around. So it's like, use them as leverage, or like you said, Corey, use the strength coaches within your own system as leverage just to make it smoother, right? It's like you guys have alluded to, the days are pretty similar. But a lot of it is like the first time you get into a city, you don't know like what you don't know about the city. You don't know what the gym's like on the road. You don't know what the clubhouse is like. You don't know the restaurant. So like any way that we can help each other out in the minor leagues, like for me, it was always awesome. And, you know, if somebody reached out to me, I'd be like, yeah, let me find out for you. Like, so it's just a good little community, a good little like family environment of strength coaches because we're all just grinding it out together in the same boat, right?
100%.
No doubt.
So, okay. So specifically now for you guys, obviously, again, you guys were strength coach of the year in your affiliates. Like, what did you do that made you successful specifically? And again, knowing that like this is voted on by your peers and like sometimes we aren't always seen by our peers other than like maybe running stretch or like we said, just communicating. So like, what was it that made you so successful that ultimately you won the award?
I think for me, something that helped early was being here with the Red Sox. I had the luck that we had the 2020 strength coach of the year on our staff, you, Chris. So obviously we had a ton of conversations, just quick questions here and there, but also like we had that extended, must've been like an hour and a half phone call at some point, like right before spring training. And I just peppered you with questions on anything I could think of. And a lot of those really helped me. And then during spring, I reached out to both you and then JJ, Eric, and Dave, who are our athletic trainers that have all been in AAA, and peppered them with questions, got advice from them. And, you know, I got really good kind of rules for me to live by throughout the year that I had in my head. And whenever I thought, should I do this or this, I think like, what advice did they give me on this? And like that helped direct me. And I would say the third thing is, I read this book right before spring called The First 90 Days. And one of the big things it did for me was like the first three chapters are all about like preparing yourself, accelerating your learning, and trying to hit a break-even point. And the break-even point is for essentially anyone in a new role, like how quick can you catch yourself up to what the person who was in your position before was at, so that you can figure out how to try to make things better. And basically, like the quicker you can get up to a standard that the position was already at, the better off you're going to be. So anything you can do to learn the role faster so that you don't lose a year adjusting to AAA, you only lose, I don't know, like the first month or two, like figuring things out. So I think that those are very important things, and that's true of any level. So those were the big things for me.
Yeah, for me, I think it was, for one, coming back to work here in St. Lucie. I'd already had a previous year experience through the league. So that definitely helped me as far as in Ben's situation. He had to learn a whole new league and just get a feel for it. I think I had a leg up there as far as just, like I said, knowing the hotels, knowing what the food was like around the stadiums, that just took a little bit off my plate of question marks of, hey, what am I going to experience this year? And just learning from my previous tenure here. But the big one, I think, was just me being prepared with, like I said, mentioned earlier, with all the new COVID protocols and stuff that we had to endure as a team as far as time constraints at the field, not having visiting facilities to go train at, all that stuff was just more dialed in as far as when we got to the park. It was, hey, we have this, 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 this is the time. Just making sure that everything flowed smoothly. And like I said earlier, having backup plans, because you're going to need them all the time, and just already being two steps ahead for something that could happen. So then whenever plan B does come up, it truly looks like it was plan A, and then nobody knows any difference except for you and maybe your athletic trainer and your manager that you had already ran through like the scenarios with, you know.
Minor league strength coaches, especially, like, I felt the same way when I was in minor leagues. Like, we always pride ourselves on being super adaptable, right? Because, like, sometimes all we have is a TRX and some power blocks and bands, and, like, we can get this done, right? And then, like, COVID hit, and it was, like, a whole new set of challenges of adaptability. And, like, fuck it. Like, we've done this before. We've adapted. Like, we've never seen COVID or anything like this, but we'll figure it out. So I agree 100% with you. Like, just having a plan, having another plan, and then another plan. And then the other thing that you said that I really liked is, like, whatever plan ends up being executed, nobody knows the difference except, like, the select few people who are in your circle.
No, I mean, if you run with it with 100% confidence, and, you know, not like, all right, crap, this was plan A, but now I'm on plan B, and, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to happen. If you just run it like it's plan A, nobody knows the difference except whoever you're truthful with. Like, you might be, oh yeah, like, yeah, that wasn't supposed to go that way. But if you run it and you sell it, you know.
Yeah, I meant to get AAA. You're good. I meant to get Chick-fil-A today. It's not because the food didn't show up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, for sure. Been there, done that.
Yeah, we all have. So obviously you guys had a good year of success, but nobody is perfect, and there's things that we can all work on. So what do you guys think you could have done better or differently that would have taken you even to the next level this year?
Yeah, I don't want to go in too deep. For me, like, the biggest thing is, like, with the work with the skill coaches, and I'm pretty optimistic for what's coming up this year, but we've already hit on that pretty hard. And obviously just making food better and making everything better in general, and having more experience in a second year in a position, I think will be good for everyone, because you already know what to expect. So for me, those are kind of the big points, but we've already labored on a bunch of them.
Yeah, same thing with Ben, just trying to get more touches with the skill coaches, continue to try and blend and blur those lines between on-field performance and in the weight room or conditioning performance. And then also just learning and getting better at the protocols and the systems that we have in place now, whatever it be, you know, just trying to continue to strive to get better at something.
Yeah, for me, I feel the same way. Like, obviously, this is my first year up here, and it was just like, all I really wanted was those really big rocks. Like understand the day-to-day, understand my job requirements, you know, get the programming down, and just, like, see how a full year plays out. And now that I have that, like, I understand that'll, like, those will still change, you know, this coming season compared to last season, but I have a grasp on that. So now I can take the next step of, like, using my previous experiences. Okay, now there's a few things I need to work on. One of which being, like, we talked about, more discussion with the skill coaches, but even just other things, you know, like budgeting and non strength and conditioning related stuff that, like, my first year, I didn't really want to worry about that because I wanted to understand the big rocks. And I would imagine it probably felt the same way, especially for you, Ben, like, just new year in AAA, like, just check all the big boxes. And now that you know how to do those on a regular basis and at a very high level, you can start fine tuning these other things, right? I would assume that's probably safe to say.
Exactly. It's exactly the point.
Yeah. So, okay. So, like, building on that a little bit, like, is there anything you're working on this off season, continuing ed wise, or, like, specifically towards those goals for next season? Like, what are you doing to, you know, just prepare yourself for next year?
Yeah, for me personally, currently enrolled at Florida, University of Florida, in their APK program. So trying to finish out my master's. Personally, still got like a year left of that. But that's just a big goal of mine. I've always had the the dreams and the aspiration to go back to school and get a master's in our field. So took that step last year during COVID and started that process. So, and then just continuing, that big theme here has been like the field staff. So continuing to get into driveline, on base U, more movement skill aspect stuff that we can take to help our players.
Yeah, for me, the big in-person course I'm going to do this off season, I'm going to go do SFMA in Florida right before spring. I've kind of looked for a way to, I feel like rehab's one of my strengths, but I still feel like there's a bit of a gap between me and the trainers. And there's always that gray area of like, guy comes in the weight room and he's like, you know, like, this is bugging me, but I'm not hurt. I'm just a little tight. Like, is there anything I can do? And like, obviously while staying in your lane, never treating pain, but like kind of finding a way to assess a guy that's maybe a little more in depth than like something like an FMS or just taking a wild guess, like finding a way to quickly kind of screen a guy and look at ways he's moving so that I can kind of have better plans for guys. So that's one of the main things I'm going after, that. And I'm trying to read like some Shirley Sarmon, like different lower quarter, upper quarter assessments while just only treating dysfunction that's not painful, so that I'm not doing the job of an athletic trainer, but I'm still helping guys in the moment when they kind of come in and are looking for that quick fix, and there might be one there. The other thing, especially being in AAA, like where you're just managing a bunch of personalities, like I'm trying to step out of, I hammer strength and conditioning continuing ed so much that like I'm trying to look at other areas. And the past two seasons I've looked a ton into psychology, like personality typing, like Big Five and Myers-Briggs, different stuff like that. And I'm trying to dig a little deeper. Like, if, I don't know if people know this, but there's things like Coursera and YouTube series, and like you can take a lot of college level courses online for free without having to like pay a penny for anything. And I found a Stanford, like, it was like, it's like the biology of human behavior on YouTube. There's a good Jordan Peterson philosophy class, looking into like an irrational behavior class, science of like learning and how different people pick up on things. So I'm deep down a rabbit hole of like human psychology and what can make me connect with people better and what can make them learn better and how I can recognize how everybody's different. And that's the big wormhole I'm down right now. So
I like that one. It's actually like, I was just on Twitter earlier and I saw a tweet and it was like, you don't know how to cook, go to YouTube. You don't know how to change a tire, go to YouTube. You don't know how to do, like, anything is on YouTube for free. So like, it's cool that you're finding those college level courses on there.
Yeah. And cooking, that's a big one too. During quarantine, I had the opportunity to just cook so much more often for myself, because it's like everybody had nothing but time. And I think I tried messing around with so much different stuff. Like, I don't quote me on this if I don't do it, but like for the season, like I'm trying to put together like a basic like recipe book, almost like things you can make in like 5 to 15 minutes that hit the big rocks of health that like I can just have sitting in the clubhouse for guys to just look at and just leave it with the food. And whether it works or not, like, I don't think it'll be too hard, but just kind of big staples, like your stir fries, like different things you can make for breakfast, smoothies, like really big, like big nutrition rocks that you can attack in very short amount of time. So that, I don't know, if it only clicks for 2 or 3 guys, like, you made a difference for that guy and you have something that can just sit in the clubhouse forever. So
I had this conversation yesterday with a couple people. It was like, at the higher levels you go, like, not everything is going to apply to everybody, but if you have a big toolbox, one specific tool might help 1 or 2 guys get 1 or 2% better. Right. And that 1 or 2% over the course of a season with all those guys on your roster might bring 1 or 2 wins, which at the big league level, especially in the AL East, like, does make a huge difference. So again, like, there might be, if you have a 25-man roster, like 12 or 13 of those guys might think it's eyewash, 10 might think it's irrelevant, but like two or three might be like, oh, actually I like this. And like, that's the separator, right? It's like, if we have that big toolbox, hey, I'm going to use FRC with this guy. I'm going to use, you know, an FMS screen with this guy and give him correctives. I'm going to let this guy be a meathead. I'm going to help this guy with his nutrition. Over time, those little gains become big gains for the team. So I hope it works for you.
I hope so too. And if not, again, that's, it's kind of a Little Rock thing. So
yeah, but and
doesn't
exactly
work, doesn't work. If it does, then cool.
Exactly. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your time. And again, congrats on the award. Really happy for both of you, having known you both personally. I know you guys work hard. I know what you stand for. So it's cool to see you guys rewarded for the work that you put in. And I'll definitely be in touch soon.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks. Good to see you guys.
All right, everybody. That concludes our episode with Ben and Corey. I hope you enjoyed this one. I really like the format of the Strength Coach of the Year group chat from the last episode. And so I figured I would set up another one and have some more guys talk about how they found success. And for me, I took a bunch of good notes from these guys. So three things that I took from these guys in the episode: have a system of checks and balances to keep yourself organized, communicate your expectations early and hold your players accountable to them, and understanding the style of your coaching staff will help get everyone on the same page. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.